This is. Fame and glory, kid, are not the real treasures here. A Star Wars sequels trilogy, Indiana Jones, fusion fic. Written by Searching for Serendipity and read by Rena Jenkins. The story is rated PG-13 and is Gen, featuring the pairing of Leia Organa Han Solo in the background, with additional tags for Indiana is pretty cool, but Han is the hero of this story. Indiana Solo, a.k.a. Han's dad. Family feels. Alternate universe, canon divergence. Fix it. Pre-canon. Young Ben Solo. Crack treated semi-seriously. Father-son relationship. Crossovers and fandom fusions. Summary. In which Ben Solo takes to idolizing his grandfather from a young age.
No, not that one. Not that one either.
The first time Ben ever heard of his grandfather was before he was even born. Han liked to speak to Leia's belly late at night as she read drafts for laws and sent scathing calm messages to her political enemies. He would plop himself on his stomach and rest a hand over the thin layer of skin and disgusting biological components when his son was growing, and tell him about the amazing adventures of Indiana Solo. Leia pretended she wasn't listening, too, but it was no use. Han knew no one could resist a good Solo family story. Indiana took the holo in one hand, stole the blaster from the downed general, and shot his way out of the forest toward the edge of the cliff. The droids kept chasing him, and he kept running, until there was nothing in front of him but the abyss. After a moment, he held out his arm. If he let go, the priceless artifact would be lost, but he knew it was a price the people of Romans were ready to pay, as long as their enemies did not get it. That's not his call to make, Leia said. I mean, I agree with it, but it really wasn't. Did he ask the Romans if they were all right with his destroying their cultural heritage? Was that part of his contract? In case of danger of acquisition by enemy forces, destruction is allowed? She squinted at him from above her huge bump. Did your father even sign contracts, or is that too legal an expectation for treasure hunters?
I have no idea, Han said, which was a lie.
He totally had an idea. There had once been a pile of Indiana's contracts with the craziest clauses before he had gotten drunk one time and burned the flimsy before Chewie could stop him.
Probably not. He was an archaeology professor, you know. It was Mom that knew more about legal stuff.
Your mother was amazing, Leia agreed. Because Leia probably had her own pile of Miriam Solo's badass field reports from the Republic Army Intel Ops. Han nodded.
It was true. His mother had been made of 95% awesome and 5% Corellian vodka.
Leia pretended to turn back to her boring paperwork, but after a moment she poked him in the head.
Well, go on. As her worshipfulness commands, he said, and kissed her bump to forestall any more poking and or elbowing.
Indiana said, don't think I won't do it, you ugly bastards.
It's no use, Solo, sneered the evil droidicot general. Give us the holocron, and perhaps your death will serve the Nazi forces of the Separatist Army.
How about no? Indiana said, and adjusted his hat.
I see where you get the snappy one-liner genes from, Leia muttered. Han ignored her.
And then Indiana cracked his whip in the air, wrapping it around the neck of the droidica general. It tried to shoot him. The shot missed him by an inch, but by then Indiana was already moving. He jumped from the cliff, fell down towards the river, a griffin freefall, only to land on the open door of the ship. How did you know I was coming? Miriam asked. Han wiggled a finger at the bump.
Pay attention, kid. That's Gram's Miriam. And she shot down the Droidicas. She had one hell of an aim, and by the time Indiana had settled in the co-pilot seat, the cliff where the Droidicas had been was rubble.
I know you couldn't resist not being the one to kill me, he said, and kissed her as they left the atmosphere and the stars blurred behind them.
How romantic, Leia whispered, but she was smiling a little.
And that was how the treasured holocron of the ancient civilization of Roma was returned to its people's place of learning. Grandpa Indiana saved the day, and Grandma Miriam saved his ugly mug. The end.
That's not the end, Leia said, outraged. You didn't even say what happened to the holocron, and what the repercussions of a dead Droidica general were, and how Indiana really knew Miriam was coming.
It's a Solo thing, he said.
And this time, he dodged the poke. On a planet like Corellia, where bounty hunters, treasure hunters, and all manner of hunters abounded, it took a lot of luck, gumption, and brains to make it to infamy. Indiana Solo had all three. His son was one lucky bastard, and he'd proved his mettle in the Resistance. But anyone who willingly married the Thunderstorm named Leia Organa had to be a few bolts short of a lightsaber. To be fair, he'd been in love. Still was, despite everything. Which was what made things so difficult.
You know this ain't your fault, right, kid? He asked Ben.
Ben didn't look at him. Ben hadn't looked at either him or Leia since last night's argument. Though it was technically last week's argument, which started last month and continued till the early hours of the last night. That's when the silence settled in. Han could sympathize. He didn't like the silence either. But by now, he knew how to weather this out. Fatherhood, more than anything in his years as a spice dealer and reluctant war hero, had taught him the value of going quiet and still, and looking like he wasn't waiting. He picked up one of the pads. Ben was like a pad orbital zone, except when it was a holo orbital zone. This one was about the people from the Amazon forest planets, and their supposedly magical artifacts. Not stuff most kids liked, but Ben was all for anything to do with history and the sort. Smart kid he was. Luke said he probably knew more about Jedi history than he did. Sometimes Han asked himself what he had done to deserve having a tiny version of his father as a son. But then he remembered Ben was also Leia's fault, and that evened things out. He was starting to fidget. The Amazon Hidden Kingdom was pretty interesting, but he'd been there, and no mysterious glowing rocks were worth the mosquito bites. When Ben said, I know it's not my fault. Han cleared his throat.
Good. Because it's not. Whatever happens between me and your mom, I don't want you blaming yourself for it.
I don't, Ben said sullenly.
Then he seemed to gather his nerves to say something and added,
I'm not sorry either. I like the Force.
Han had to fight not to sigh. Fatherhood had also helped solidify Leia's lesson that blowing out a frustrated breath was only going to veer things off track. He wanted things to go down the right track for once, as right as a conversation between a kid left behind and a father with space lust could go. He knew this dance, Han did. It was probably written in the stars or the Force, or maybe his genes, Maybe there was something about the Solo men that made them wild and restless, unsatisfied with stagnancy. But he'd promised himself when Ben was born that he'd never leave without talking to his kid before heading out into the dark, starry black. He'd been in those shoes. And like Sith hell was he going to pass them on to his kid. I'm glad you like the Force. It's part of you. You don't have to use it if you don't want it, beyond some basic training and stuff. But you shouldn't ignore it either.
Ben looked at him sideways. He hadn't turned a page in the pad in ages.
Uncle Luke said Grandpa Indiana might have been Force-sensitive. And if he was, you might be too.
Han huffed and slumped more aggressively.
Aggressive slumping was a skill, no matter what Chewie said about defense mechanisms.
Your grandfather was as Force-sensitive as a rock.
No, wait, he studied rocks, and some of them were Force-sensitive, but he was not. We Solos are regular no-space mojo people.
And I'm not? Ben dared, lifting his chin in an expression that was all Leia.
Criff, he even asked trick questions like Leia.
You're an Organa Solo, Han said gruffly. You're Ben, my kid. You're special, all right.
Han wasn't sure, but he was pretty sure the way Ben went all soft-eyed was all him. Criff it all.
You're pretty special too, Dad, he said, not looking at him. He still hadn't turned to the pad page.
Yeah, yeah, Han said, and tried not to think how he was supposed to take flight in an hour, or that Leia was kicking them out of the house. The Falcon was waiting, but it could keep waiting, and Chewie wouldn't mind.
Now, tell me about these Amazon people. Is it true they have these kick-ass lady warriors? I've heard things about them, but don't tell your mother I told you about it or she'll have my hide.
Ben smiled up at him and started talking.
Han straightened his back. By the look of things, it was gonna be a long rant. And it didn't kill his pride, after all, to admit that his back wasn't what it used to be. The first thing Luke ever said to Han was to insult the Falcon, which would have been enough to put him in his bad graces if the next thing he said hadn't sealed the deal.
Solo? Not related to Indiana Solo. The legendary treasure hunter? Luke asked, eyes wide with idolization and, the closer he looked at Han, bafflement.
He resented that. He really did.
Might be. That gonna be a problem?
The thing is, when your dad is on the Empire's most wanted list, dead or alive, though gagged and tortured was preferred, a kid had to learn to watch his back. Especially in a business like his. Lots of people thought they could sell him out to the imps or the Huds, or whoever else still had a grudge against his old man. Han had to learn how to run very fast. One of the reasons he had gone to so much trouble to make the Falcon the lightning-fast speed demon she was. That, and someone had to keep up Ma's old ship. It took a lot of work, and she wouldn't pass it on till he agreed not to change his name. But Griff, if it wasn't worth it. Didn't mean it didn't leave a bad taste in his mouth when little desert planet hicks like this looked at him like they were trying to find their childhood hero in his face and failed to find him. Han knew the feeling.
It's not going to be a problem, the old man said.
Just as well, since the kid looked ready to start pelting Han with questions about his dad's adventures, and that was a big no-no.
Han changed his mind when he recognized the thoughtful look the old man was giving him.
You know, I met your father during the war against the Separatists. Never met anyone who knew as much about ancient languages.
That's my old man, Han said. One hell of a scholar.
His taste in haberdashery left something to be desired, however. He continued, as if anyone had the right to insult the hat. Well, Han insulted the hat all the time, but it was his prerogative. Then the kid really did break into questions, and Han rolled his eyes. He'd have rolled them harder if he'd known he was going to get a kid as prone to enthusiastic prattling on as this one.
Uncle Luke, did you know there's an old man speaking in my head?
Luke, who until then had been flowing in the peaceful currents of the Force, went very cold all over. Ben had Han's talent for breaking his meditation mindset with annoying ease. Then what his nephew had said registered, and he knew there was no fighting the coming headache. It was a Force headache, for one thing, so it was better not to ignore it. But it was an Organa Solo headache also, and really, there was literally no way to ignore that. He'd know. He'd tried enough times.
Ben sat down in front of him, falling into meditation position and breaking it immediately by fidgeting. His presence was a distraught point in the Force, alarmingly angry, but mostly deeply anxious. And Luke softened.
What do you mean, speaking in your mind?
Like your conscience? He asked cautiously.
Ben was a little old for imaginary friends, but it was better not to shoot these things down without consideration.
Luke had vague memories of playing in the desert behind the Lars homestead with an imaginary friend that was, in hindsight, probably Leia.
Like someone is whispering in my ear, only it's in my head.
Which, all right, was a decent answer.
Luke remembered old Ben's voice as he took the shot that destroyed the first Starkiller. And that was a good way to describe having someone else shove thoughts in your head without you asking.
Whether the speaker was dead or not, it wasn't a pleasant experience.
It doesn't speak all the time, but it feels like it's there, like a bad echo. Especially when I'm sad or angry, it amplifies those feelings.
Going by his expression, it would take more than one talk to go through those feelings. Luke wondered if the old Jedi Order involved so much focus on emotional therapy.
Probably not.
It would explain quite a lot.
How do you know it's an old man, Ben?
He has old man voice, like Dad before morning calf.
He answered very simply.
Luke did not choke. Luke was a renowned Jedi Master, and renowned Jedi Masters did not choke on their laughter. They released it into the Force to meditate on it later, preferably when alone with no one to hear them guffaw, and when it became clear whether or not his nephew was being mind-probed by a Darksider. He'd like to say it was probably not a Sith, but knowing their family, it probably was a Sith.
Luke sighed mournfully.
Ben really was very young to be dealing with the Skywalker legacy already.
For a while, I thought it might be Gramp Indiana, Ben said, looking a little disappointed.
A Force ghost, you know? You said he might have had the Force, but it doesn't sound all that much like Dad. And I've heard hollows of his classes, and it wasn't him. It's an oily voice. I've tried to look with the force, but I've not seen any ghosts. Well, he added thoughtfully, except Master Kenobi, but that's normal. He just likes to have someone to play sabacc with.
It really wasn't normal. Luke had no idea old Ben had been appearing to young Ben, much less corrupting him with his sabacc-cheating ways. But he'd deal with that later.
Do you have any idea who it might be? He asked gently.
Ben nodded earnestly and opened his satchel. Luke watched with some apprehension as he took out an impressive pile of hollows and flimsy.
Oh, yes. You know how Gramps once stole the Sith holocron from the lost planet Atlantis? Well, turns out the Jedi Order wanted it, but by then Shadow Master Dooku had fallen, and Gramps didn't trust them with it. Good thing, too, or the Empire would have gotten it eventually. Well, he hid it in the treasury of Corellia's university. You know how they called Dad some time ago about the artifacts there in his name, and he told them to call back later and then ignored them? But I might have called back, maybe?
Ben? Luke started very slowly. Have you been studying Sith artifacts to find out how to deal with the dark side in your mind?
Ben tried for repentant, but he did not have the good sense to hold it for long. Not directly. I only saw the holograms the university sent me. But what I really needed was Gramps' report. He wrote down what the old guardian of the Sith Temple said before they died when the temple was destroyed in a battle with the Seps, and it really was interesting.
Ben's face, which usually lit up when he talked about anything deemed interesting, was very small and careful.
Did you know there are ways for the Sith to manipulate from a distance the minds of possible apprentices? To groom them from childhood?
Luke's headache wasn't going anywhere. He could already tell.
I don't want to be a Jedi, Ben declared one day over breakfast. Leia, who had an hour and a half until she was supposed to address the New Republic Senate about the rising need for military action against the First Order in the Outer Rim, hummed.
That's nice, honey. I want to be an archaeologist, like Gramps Indiana.
What a surprise, Han drawled.
Leia did look up at that to give him a sharp glare, but Han didn't need the reprimand. He was already messing up Ben's head, cheerfully ignoring his scowl while chugging down his calf.
You've been studying old ruins since you were a youngling. I think you've met more mummies than most taxidermists.
Mummies are better company than most taxidermists, muttered Ben,
who had a fraught relationship with stuffed, cursed animals, a result of their unfortunate family trip to Dathomir. She had told him not to wander away from their camping site, but of course he'd gone and walked right into an old training center of the Night Sisters. There had been booby traps. Ben had been delighted, except for the thing with the stuffed snakes. Ben hated snakes with a passion that in people of her family tended to prelude great and mortal confrontations of galactic proportions.
Point is, I don't want to be a Jedi.
Leia and Han shared a look. They had plenty of looks, but this was a new edition that translated as, our son was being mind-groomed by a Sith Lord. What the criff do we do with that?
Your father and I respect that. As long as you continue training with Uncle Luke.
And force did their kidney training.
we have no problem with you being an archaeologist.
Good,
Ben grinned.
It was her own tenacious grin in his oval face, Han's eyes shining at her.
No offense, but I don't want to do the same thing as Uncle Luke. Or a senator like you, Mom.
Ouch, Leia muttered, and Han snorted.
I don't even want to be like Gramps. I don't think I'd make a good teacher, but I'm not comfortable with treasure hunting. It was different during the war when precious objects had to be found and moved in a hurry or they'd be stolen. But what he did was theft, too. He didn't even have proper contracts.
I know, Leia said. I'm glad you're taking into consideration the legal side of archaeology.
Yes, Han startled when all the attention of that intense focus turned on him. Ben wasn't looking at him exactly, more at a point above his shoulder, but he was staring at it quite fiercely.
He was also, Leia noticed, a little flushed.
That's why I want to be like Dad.
Kid, Han said, voice rough and honest. You can do better than that.
Leia closed her eyes for a moment. She did not have time for this conversation, but right now it wasn't about her. It was about Ben and Han, and the closest thing they all had to positive emotional communication since Ben started training to keep Snoke out of his head. They realized that it was a difficult mental process for anyone, especially someone so young. But it was difficult to have Ben spend most of his time meditating or studying and deflecting every approach.
I mean, probably, Ben agreed. I don't agree with that sentiment, but I don't want to be a pilot. Not only a pilot, anyway. But a freelance archaeologist needs a ship.
Han was blinking a lot and trying not to look like he was doing it, so she took pity on him and lifted her eyebrows.
That's one career I've never heard of. I like it, but don't think having a clear goal is going to excuse not paying attention to your other studies.
I know, Ben waved it away. I've got a list of places I want to go to. Not now, maybe, but when I'm older. And I thought that I could go there with you, Dad. And Chewie. If Mom is all right with it.
Did you take it up with Luke? She asked.
Yes. He said we could set up meditation schedules through the comms, and that we'd speak about it at length. But it shouldn't be a problem.
Ben shrugged, more wry than most boys his age. He really was spending too much time with Kenobi's Force Ghost.
Not more than usual, anyway.
Then I'm all right with it, Leia conceded. With some conditions, but we can talk about it later.
She trusted Han with Ben, but she wasn't sure how much she trusted Ben's reckless curiosity with Han.
Also, she wasn't 100% okay with sending her kid into space while dealing with Sith-related mental issues. But at the same time, keeping him around the same setting was probably not a good idea.
Ben had patently refused to leave the Falcon for weeks, but they'd had to drag him kicking and screaming, and eventually sedated, for the worst of the Force cleansing process, or whatever it was. It had worked, whatever intensive meditation regime or ritual Luke had helped him through, on the verdant planet he'd been taken to. Dagobah was as good a place for Force healing as any, as far as she knew. Isolation was apparently required for part of the process. Afterwards, Luke had suggested having him full-time at his academy,
Pepin had made a persuasive holographic presentation based on historical precedent, defending that distance from sources of attachment did nothing to stop the influence of the dark side. The cornerstone of his thesis had been Anakin Skywalker's sad, sad career as a Jedi. Leia was very proud that her son was taking after her in ruthless insensitivity. Han, however, was more soft-hearted. Presently, he shrugged and settled into that deliberate slump of his.
Sure. I mean, yeah. We could do that. On the holidays.
Wizard, Ben said, and grinned.
Han grinned back the exact same smile.
Yeah, kid. It sure is.
Leia wasn't even surprised when Ben and Han came back from Corellia wearing matching brown hats out of fashion by 60 years. She made Ben promise not to train with the whip unsupervised, though. The end. Reader's notes.
I love it. I love it so much. This is probably the most adorable Baby Organa Solo backstory fic I have ever read. I love the way Indiana Jones fuses so perfectly into the prequels era. It's so vivid. It's just like there's this tiny bit of me that's like Indiana Solo and Cad Bane went to the same hat shop. And I love that. Like just in the back of my head, Cad Bane is wearing the... You know, if he ever runs into Han, Han is going to steal his hat for defiling his father's legacy. It's beautiful. Plus, it got me thinking about tiny undergrad Shelley Afra sitting in a lecture by Dr. Solo. And that was a delight. And then the little half a paragraph, like not even half a paragraph, that little single sentence about Han not wanting to leave his son in the same position he had been, all of Han's abandonment issues with his dad running off into space without telling him. I spent the entire time reading this with a smile on my face. Reading it aloud was kind of difficult because there were definitely moments I was grinning that, like, I don't want the grin to come across in the text, but I'm really smiling so hard about this that I'm worried I may have influenced my inflection because I could not take the smile off my face. It was such a fantastic mood booster, and Searching for Serendipity was so kind to let me record this story, and I love it. I love everything about this. I didn't know that I would care about Tiny Ben Solo ever in my entire life, but like Tiny Ben Solo who wants to be a freelance treasure hunter. So good for me. Anyway, thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed it. Have a nice day.